You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, Nutmeg the puppy makes his first appearance. So we're really excited to. That's the biggest guest of the show, I think.
That's right. Also, Matt Doyle makes his first appearance on the TV show. That also happens. And he talks to us about why you don't want to take your cats off the curtain. I'm not making that up. That and more tonight on the Cooligans!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, puppy! I'm talking about Nutmeg.
Yeah, look at this. Yeah, the TV debut for Nutmeg. Say hello. Say hello to everybody.
Still? Hasn't said his first word?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. That's Nutmeg, and I'm Alexis Guerreros. And if you're listening, you're like, what are you talking about? If you're watching, you're like, oh, yeah. That's a puppy. This is now the third Cooligan, and I'm completely against it.
Yes, my girlfriend and I, we got a puppy. The Nutmeg is a mini golden doodle. He is quite adorable. He is biting everything. But right now, I think he's a little tired. I think
he's a little camera shy.
A little camera shy.
Doesn't even want to kiss its dad.
But no, this has been wild. What a crazy experience. This has been, 2 weeks with a dog? And
are you done? Are you over it?
I mean, I'll be honest, it's a lot.
Okay. Yeah, bro. That's why I refuse. You know what I mean?
He is quite adorable. And he is a new part of our family, the Cooligans family.
Okay. Well, I refuse. I will not acknowledge him when I see him. You know?
So obviously a lot to discuss today. Let me put Nutmeg back in the green room. Where are we going to send it?
into the green cage.
So that's been exciting. Yeah, Nutmeg is dealing with a little bit of separation anxiety right now. That's the biggest challenge. Whenever I leave him in the pen by himself, he's like, no. I need a human being. I need a person with me at all times.
This wasn't what I signed up for. Get over here.
Because he cries and whimpers I'm learning to be patient and understand that he needs my support right now.
This is what all the women in relationships listening are calling baby training right now, because this is exactly what's happening to you, buddy.
Look, whatever, man. I'll be honest. I've kissed a girl before.
And okay,
that's, wow, sometimes, man, things happen after.
Well, ladies, if you're keeping score, check it off the baby training list. Kissed a lady before.
Okay, all right. I know the bases. Yeah. Okay.
By the way, if you don't know who we are, by the way, we are the Cooligans.
Yes, we are your favorite soccer podcast, the favorite stand-up comedians that host. I don't even know. The dog was too cute. I'm distracted.
Well, I'll tell you, we host the funniest soccer television show of all time. And what else are we, Christian? Let's switch it up.
We're also a television show that happens to be the gulliest out here on Fubo Sports Network.
And here we are. And that's why we got rid of the puppy, dog. We too gully to be this cute. You know what I mean?
You can't be cute and gully.
Nah, right. Son.
It's never been done.
Yeah. Speaking of gully, check out this mask I have, Christian. Look at this.
Hey, look. I also have one, too. Look, it's the official Cooligans mask.
That's right. Look at this. It's got the Cooligans logo on the left cheek, and it says, stay safe, stay gully on a right cheek. You know what I mean?
Right there. Let's go. So you can pick one up and get one of these for yourself. And also, every purchase, all the proceeds of this will be going to South Bronx United, which is an awesome organization that helps kids through soccer and education in the South Bronx. We got interviewed by the Journalism Club at Bronx United. All the kids there were, well, they wanted to talk to journalists in soccer, and
they couldn't get any. So we showed up.
And but they were awesome. They left a huge, huge impression. They were super, super kind and really nice and really interested in what we do and the soccer kind of media landscape. So we were like,
we're trying to help them. Yeah.
We're making these masks. How about we raise some money for them? It's a great organization. So go to soccercooligans.com. These masks are from Upper 90. They're really, really cool. They're comfortable, high quality. So pick one up at soccercooligans.com.
Thank you, Upper 90, for that. Speaking of separation anxiety, by the way, NWSL is probably having some separation anxiety because all the big names, they're going to Europe. Peace, bye.
I'm crying in my pen. All right,
I'm at LaGuardia Airport whimpering
because obviously Alex Morgan announced she's signing with Tottenham. She is leaving. She's taking her baby Charlie. To London, to North London. Also,
so far, best striker in the Tottenham system right now, Alex Morgan. Let's go.
Okay. And
she could look at Harry Kane and be like, you never won a World Cup, huh? That's cute. That's mad cute.
Real nice. Real nice. Wonder how you got this job, but whatever.
whatever. I guess double standard.
The also, Manchester United, the women there signing Kristen Press and Tobin Heath. Big news.
Damn.
Also, it is an exodus for NWSL. Obviously, I think
Rose Lavelle and I can't remember. And Sam Lewis, they're both over at Manchester City. So Manchester right now is the new U.S. women's national team camp. And they got four great players in that city.
And it's dope that NBC Sports is also airing the Women's Super League matches, so you can watch the games there. And now, like, there's a little bit of the history of these clubs and these rivalries kind of, carries over to the women's game in England. And without a doubt, this will help raise the publicity and notoriety of soccer in England, which we deal with the sexism, the misogyny to some degree, but in England, it's
a whole other
brutal.
Level.
Brutal. It is.
My favorite was Meg Linehan shared Alex Morgan's Tottenham tweet about Alex Morgan signing, and a bunch of dudes were saying, no one cares, no one cares. She's like, how could you say no one cares to a tweet that has over 100,000 likes? How could you do that?
It really makes no sense. Look, we have facts. We have numbers.
It's literally right below the tweet that people care.
That's the cool thing about Twitter. You can figure out who cares about what.
Right there.
It's so, so clear. So I'm excited about that. These moves. I've been watching some of the Women's Super League games, and it's like they've been entertaining. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it's great.
The quality is probably just like maybe a tier below NWSL, but you bring in this kind of talent. I'm excited about what it's going to look like. All right, so stick around, everybody, because we have Matthew Doyle of MajorLeagueSoccer.com. He's going to be joining us in a moment. So we'll be right back with Matt Thor right after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break it with a word from one of our sponsors, us, and technically you.
The Cooligans have now gotten into the mask game. Okay,
right. Everybody? We are big mask. That's the business we're in, baby.
Look, if you want to get, obviously, everybody, you need a mask. Wear a damn mask if you want to get over this dumb pandemic that is ruining all our lives.
But we
decided, you know what, let's make one, and I think it'll be kind of cool if it has the Cooligans logo on it. It also says stay safe and stay gully right on it. You'll be the freshest, gulliest mask wearer in the world.
Everybody at that Wegmans or wherever you go in, as they're dragging some maskless Karen out and you walk past them wearing this, will be like, whoa.
Yeah, you're just like, with your Cooligans mask, you're just gonna be like, couldn't be me.
Okay. Nah, fam, I'm staying gully and safe. And here's the best part. 100% of the proceeds is going to go to charity. We are doing a collaboration with South Bronx United. They help the community in the South Bronx. They have a soccer academy. They do educational classes. They had a journalism class that Christian and I spoke at, and they were like, who are these two? They're not journalists. We know more than them. And I'm like, these kids say the darndest things. And also they help out the community where they hand out masks. They do a lot of legal help for a community that could use all of those things. And we absolutely love all those things. We grew up in similar communities, so we wanted to give back. So 100% of the proceeds of this mask goes to that. And in fact, Upper 90, who is teamed up with us and is making the mask, actually gave us an even better deal so we could give even more to charity. So exactly. This would mean a lot to us if you would purchase this. Even if you didn't need an extra mask, it's worth having one, especially one that's as gully as this.
Exactly. So, you know, if you don't need one, give it to your child. Okay. That's right. They could use a nice gully mask while they're
put one on your
learning.
Puppy.
Okay. So pick one up. You can get them at soccercooligans.com. They are from Upper 90. They're a high quality mask. They you can wear them for a long time. They're really comfortable. Highly recommend it. Even if you don't need one, all the proceeds do go to charity. So you'll be supporting a very good cause in South Bronx United. You can see the description. The link will be in the description of this podcast episode. Or you can just go right to soccercooligans.com and the link will be there as well. So pick up a mask today.
All right, baby. And we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC. And this is, I mean, Christian, if we were a sitcom, right?
Okay.
All right.
Okay. This is the Hollywood pitch. I'm listening.
Okay. If we were a sitcom, this person we're about to bring in, which you know who it is because you've seen the title, they would be the recurring character, right? Yeah. Maybe a cousin of ours who doesn't want to be here, but also loves being here. You know what I mean? Doesn't like any other member of the family. But would not want to be anywhere else besides here. And then at the end of the episode, they say something heartwarming, which makes the audience love him again. Right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. This is a great. That's a great definition of this person's ethos. And
yes, but we love him, right? And we know a lot of fans do, except for the fans of the teams. They seem to go after more often than not. You've seen his cats online. You've seen him never wearing a tie. On any content, which is another reason I respect them. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, and please pull over and put your hands together for Matt Doyle, everybody!
Maddie.
Oh, boys, that was a good introduction. Like, let's just scrap the show and let's workshop the sitcom idea. Because we all know that's where the money is. Like, let's make this happen.
Buddy, everyone's home. They'll watch it. Okay. Yeah.
Matt Doyle, thank you so much for joining us. It's an honor to finally have you on the television show. We've had you on the podcast a whole bunch, but now you are made. Hollywood is calling.
Well, I mean, I was getting a little upset, right? Because I'd been on the podcast, as you said, a whole bunch, but then you guys get the show, you go big time. Oh, we still text a little bit, we talk on Twitter, but it's been like a year and no invite. So like, yeah, this is the angry cousin coming back. Might be one of those uncomfortable episodes. We'll have to see how it ends. Nobody can tell.
Okay, I can't wait until the second act where we all have to solve a problem together. I guess let's talk about what the year has been since you've been on our show. Not only are we on TV, but also the world has kind of ended. How different does this, I mean, does your job really change for everyone who doesn't know who you are? I doubt it. You do a lot of amazing content for MLS, but for the most part, you weren't flying game to game. You were sitting at home, you're watching the game, you're writing articles. That kind of didn't change. Talk to us a little bit about maybe how what you do has changed.
The biggest change is that, I mean, we had a studio. Like, we technically still have a studio in Midtown Manhattan. And like every weekend we would be going in there for either Saturday or Sunday night. And we would do like a big wrap up show. That's gone. We don't do that anymore. We're not in the studio for like you said, we make a lot of content. We're not in the studio for that content during the week either. We're doing the same thing that you guys are doing, man. We're trying to make it work remotely. It's been kind of cool. Because I think we all knew that stuff like this is possible, and we don't have to be as married to the idea of going into the same office or the same studio location
all the time.
Yeah. So it's been kind of okay. But at the same time, like, I love my apartment, but I'm sick of my apartment and I need to get out
Same here. Yeah, for sure.
Obviously that human interaction is missing. But it's a strange time because, yeah, we are stuck at home. And then, you know, as MLS was one of the, you know, after NWSL was one of the first like sports that made a return. And then not only did it make a return, but it felt like it was on all the time, like during in the morning, in the afternoon.
So you wake up, you're making yourself a coffee, there's an MLS game on. You're making yourself dinner, MLS game on. You can't sleep at night, MLS game on.
Yeah. I wonder from your perspective, did it feel like this was a pivotal time for MLS to get in front of more eyeballs and to really kind of separate itself and gain some ground as far as the American sports market?
I mean, I honestly don't know, because I try not to think of it from like I try not to think of the sport or the league from like that 1,000 foot executive view. I don't want to be the one making those decisions. Those decisions scare me, and trying to figure that out scares me. Like, for me, it was a chance to see soccer again, and I was like obviously really relieved and happy that the bubble worked. Nobody got sick in Orlando who wasn't already sick. That was awesome. And it seems like we're seeing it with the NFL too, and even Major League Baseball to a degree, that even now that games are outside of the bubble, people have mostly been safe. Who knew that masks and testing would work? You know, people
nobody
being
knew.
Responsible.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, Matt, nobody no, none of that propaganda on this program.
Yeah,
right?
Certainly not.
Don't you dare. Look, the CDC has a gun held to their head and they say you're wrong. So.
Oh, good God. But it was like, for me, it was just a chance to watch soccer again. And it was awesome. And then, as you said, Alexis, it was all the time. It was you wake up at 9 a.m., you have the game at 9, and then you try to take a nap, except you also have to make two videos and do a little bit of writing. Oh, and then there's more games on. And you had a month of that, and then you had like a week off, and now we have – there's like 12 games – 3 nights a week in MLS right now, and I'm supposed to do tactical analysis, and the tactical analysis for most of these games were, one, I was too tired to really watch it and pay attention. Two, these two teams were too tired to really execute anything. Three, the game was lost on a turnover. Happened because a guy literally fell asleep on the field, and that's how the game was won.
Well, you're like, here's the tactical analysis. It's 1,000 degrees and humidity's at 5,000,000%. Okay.
Well, it is starting to feel almost like from the MLS staff perspective, there's a lot of teams in league. And now when you these weekends where you're having 10 to 15 games.
Yeah.
On, like, how, I mean, you're going to need an apprentice. You're going to need an apprentice at some point.
They're staggered. I mean, they're starting, like, at the halftime of the other. I'm like, I can't watch all. How many? Send me a couple tablets, MLS, so I can watch all.
No, it feels like that sometimes. And you have to make decisions on what game you're really going to pay attention to. But it's the change over the past decade. When I started this job in 2010, there were 15 teams. There were 7 games a weekend. That was so. Now
oh,
there was
what a gig.
Like, there were 7 games. There were 7 games on at the same time on Saturday night.
Bro,
it's a lot.
Done.
It's like, I mean, it's more than pretty definitely any other league. But like even during a World Cup, like when there's that peak frenzy. MLS is like, oh, you think that was a lot? Yeah. No.
We're MLS. We're World Cup group stages all the time, every weekend.
So let's talk a little bit about some of these teams that are. Some are doing the most. Some are doing the least.
Christian, which one of the 48 teams do you want to talk about?
No, let's start with the San Jose Earthquakes, right? Mm-hmm. Because they recently lost very, very badly to the Seattle Sounders. They lost 7-1. It was an unbelievable game of like just mistakes and lack of effort. And I understand that there's, you know, some fixture congestion and all this other stuff. But there was really no excuse for that kind of performance. But we have to really discuss about Pelado Almeida. What is going on? Because as a neutral for the San Jose Earthquake, they are an entertaining team. They were very entertaining at the MLS's back tournament. I want them to do well. Why are they not, Matt Doyle?
It's a lot of things, right? And it's always a lot of things in the sport of ours. First and foremost, they're just not a super talented team. They are probably bottom quarter, if not bottom 10% in the league in terms of raw talent on the roster. And then that got worse when they sold Magnus Eriksson, who was their playmaker for the past couple of years. And Magnus Eriksson was never great, but I kind of underrated him because he's the type of guy who's just in the right spots. He stays far enough away from where the ball is to spread the field out, to make it a little bit bigger. And the guys that they've had to replace him are just like running towards the ball like your puppy, just like making everything compressed. They have separation anxiety from the ball. So like the ability for San Jose to make the game big in attack has sort of dwindled over the past month. That's on one side. And then on the other side, defensively, man marking has a limited shelf life. Once you get enough film on it, you can figure out how to pick it apart. And Bob Bradley figured it out right away. A couple other coaches last year figured it out over the course of the season. Brian Schmetzer definitely figured it out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was...
Yeah, he held the sprint button on Jordan Morris.
That's it, right?
Jordan Morris is like, no thanks. Please keep your social distance.
So I understand why Almeida uses that system, because he had a lot of success both in Argentina and in Liga MX. But if you look at it, that success didn't come in like regular season situations. It came primarily in tournaments. And in tournaments, like the sample size is smaller, so you get the chance to kind of like spring surprises on teams. Over the course of the regular season, that doesn't work. And we saw that last year as well, because after a month, they started playing really good soccer and catching teams out and just winning those individual duels. But down the stretch, they lost like 9 out of 10 games because teams knew what was coming and were able to prepare for it and were able to cut them up.
Yeah, I think it was at MLS All-Star. I said to Matt, we were all walking back, and I said to Matt, I was like, clearly, I think San Jose is going to win MLS Cup. And then I explained all the ways that man marking is going to do it. And then Matt looks at me and goes, no, they won't. And that was it. That was the end. That was his analysis. I was like,
All right, succinct. It was very clear. Yeah, like, last year we had Tommy Thompson on the podcast, and and San Jose was probably about like 8 points out of in a playoff position. They were pretty much set, but they were probably like 6 or 7 games to go. And I very arrogantly, I was trying to compliment him. I'm like, Tommy, good luck in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you last go game of the season. What happened? They missed the playoffs. I'm like, all right, I learned my lesson. Do not until they have absolutely guaranteed it. Do not congratulate anybody on making any sort of accomplishment or anything like that.
Let's head east a little bit, because Red Bulls are a very frustrating team if you're a fan of theirs, for sure. But for those of us who aren't fans of the team, just watching them, they seem like they're a team that's difficult to beat, and they seem like a team that is well put together, but there just seems to be something missing. And then they go ahead and fire Chris Armas, which their fans were very happy about, right? They were very frustrated because he wasn't, he wasn't living up to the Jesse Marsh, I guess, standard. But Kaku seems like he's playing out of position. Who's the striker? They got this new GM. What's happening at Red Bull?
It's definitely a transition out of that, what was essentially the Jesse Marsh era. And Jesse was the first coach to bring a real modern press to MLS in 2015. Had a lot of success with that over the course of 3.5 years, 2 supporter shields, obviously, you know, putting Tyler Adams into the Bundesliga for RB Leipzig. He checked all the boxes. What the one box he didn't check was winning a cup. And whether it was MLS Cup or CCL or US Open Cup, every time they got into those moments, they would face a team, put them under pressure, compress them into their own box, and just never find the goal. And Chris Armas came in and said, we got to have a plan B. It can't just be pressing all the time. And the plan B was supposed to be able to use the ball a little more, to be able to get a team that's packed in front of goal and bring them out a little bit and hit in behind. And it never happened. And I think the big criticism for Chris Armas is not that that was a bad idea, because I think that was actually a good idea. The big criticism is that while that was happening, one, they lost their identity in terms of being able to press that well, and two, none of the guys on the team improved. Like, you could criticize a lot of things about a lot of coaches, but if you look at some of the guys who are struggling, well, are the young players getting better? Yes. Okay, he has a plan then. Are the veterans living up to their billing? Yes. Okay. Yes. With Red Bull, there's not one player on that roster. Kaku in 2018 was arguably best 11 caliber. By the end of Chris Armas' tenure, he's a sub. You know, like, you look at Christian Caceres, who they got at an 18 year old, he's 20 now and he's basically the same player. And you go on down that list. And I think that, beyond almost anything else, is where the disconnect was, because look, Red Bull is not going to be a big spending team. They're not going to go out there and be the Galaxy. They've made that clear at this point. So they need to have a manager who can take young players or take diamonds in the rough, like what Jesse Marsh did, and turn them into stars. And there was just no indication that was going to happen under Chris Armas.
But even to get rid of... maybe you understand Luis Robles, but BWP and mm-hmm. seeing them both kind of still do pretty well, still have a lot to offer. It seems like that transition to, or the plan to move forward without them, they didn't really have anyone in place that could maybe tactically they could replace those guys as far as of what they do on the pitch. But like the leadership, I don't really see it. Anymore, or I don't see it clearly. I don't know who that is anymore.
Maybe Royer?
I mean, he's probably the most accomplished field player in MLS at this point that's left on the run, other than Aaron Long. And Aaron Long has not been the same guy for the Red Bulls over the past year and a half that he was in 2017 and 2018. And this is where it goes beyond Chris Armas, right? This is the other gripe that I think Red Bulls fans have, is like, Jesse Marsh was a great coach. Jesse Marsh also had a top five center forward in BWP. You had a top five playmaker in Sasha Kljestan. You had a top five D-mid in Dax McCarty and then Tyler Adams. He had top five fullbacks. He had top five center backs. And, like, yeah, he got those guys to that level. But once those guys got sold up, you have to give the coach something, the new coach something. And they haven't really done that. So it's, when I wrote the column after he was dismissed, it was like, yeah, Chris Armas – he kind of 75 games in, like, okay, he kind of earned this, but he's not the only one or even the biggest one at fault. Like, there are issues with their talent ID and their recruitment, frankly, that the new guy, Kevin Thelwell, the new director of soccer there, who comes from Wolves, who has a good reputation in England, he's got to solve that.
Okay.
So one of my questions is, and we're talking about some of the teams, but you mentioned Tyler Adams. We've talked about Aaron Long, who had a chance to possibly go to Europe. Reggie Cannon and Quintero, I believe, now also going to Boa Vista. There seems to be a lot of movement now.
Wait,
with
who are you talking about? Not Quintero.
Albert Elise. So if you look at – a lot of players are now moving over to Europe, and it seems to be that sort of that promise of MLS becoming a selling league is starting to come to fruition, right, especially mm-hmm. in a non-selling market. What do those changes mean for MLS on the business side? We know that's probably a positive, but on the field, are we going to see sort of an era of even more youth coming through? Is this going to be maybe pushing youth a little bit quicker onto the first team? What do you see coming forward?
I mean, I hope it's that, because we've learned that MLS players aren't just good enough to play in MLS. They're good enough to play in some of the best leagues in the world. And that, like, Reggie Cannon, the first 3 months he played in MLS, he was terrible. He was really bad. He was one of the worst right backs in the league, but they played him through that, and they coached him up. And now they're literally cashing in on that. So it's a revenue stream, but it's also proof of concept in the ability to play guys like that. And Dallas, because of their academy and because of their club ethos, they sold Reggie Cannon for $3 million, plus add-ons if he gets sold again, which he will. And then they plugged in Brian Reynolds, a 19-year-old right back from their academy. and they can go out and buy a guy like Andres Ricuarte, who's one of the best, you know, number 10s in the Colombian League. And, you know, all MLS teams now, I mean, you guys, your NYCFC fans, you know that they're always scouting South America, especially to bring in good young players. So I do think that that's the era that we're looking, like, there's always going to be room for a David Villa or a Gonzalo Higuain, right? But the era that we're looking at is to pair those players with really good young talents, primarily from the Americas. And it's going to put a lot of pressure on managers and GMs and club infrastructure to make sure that those types of investments pay off in the end, with playing time, with development, and then with having the network to sell these guys to, you know, whether it's a Lille or a Wolfsburg or, you know, a Napoli or something like that.
Yeah, is the last few years. I mean, the business of MLS is booming, right?
Yeah.
As far as moving players and selling players,
it's like Bitcoin. No one believed in it, but here we are, baby.
Okay, the value's going up and up. The changes that, like, the MLS, I don't know, you know, I know there's people at MLS, like, we spoke to Aleko Eskandarian about the details of the elite development academies and mm-hmm. what getting rid of USDA and kind of MLS taking
next.
More kind of ownership of all of this stuff. What is as far as the biggest differences and what that change will mean for actual first team players, what do you think is like sort of that future of those development academies for MLS, and what does it mean on a practical level on getting better talent and then also moving those players to other?
So I think that on a practical level, you needed the Alphonso Davies moment. You needed the ability to see a kid who started in an MLS academy at age 12 or 13, come through the system, play, you know, in USL on the path to pros, then make the jump to MLS, be an MLS All-Star, get sold to Bayern Munich, and then there he is hoisting the trophy next to Lewandowski and Mueller and that great team, and becoming a part of Bayern Munich. Like, that is just proof of concept on a level that, I mean, I had almost not dreamed of. But this is happening within the context of, like, Gio Reyna's from an MLS academy. Weston McKennie's from an MLS academy. Tyler Adams, we saw what he did in the Champions League. So it's like Alphonso Davies is the, you know, the bright shining star, but there's a lot more of that to come. And there has been a realization over the past 10 years, but really the last five, that actually players come from the United States of America are good enough. Players can, like in one of the biggest sins that we've had as a soccer culture is that we have always kind of hated ourselves, whether it comes to players or coaches or teams, or whatever.
Or just being an American, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, kind of call for that from time to time, but, you know, that's a different podcast.
There's some reasons.
but there's been a realization that there's no reason an American or a Canadian kid can't play at a Bayern Munich or a Barcelona or a Juventus. And now there's real buy-in, not just from the ground up, but from the top down, which is important. And a realization that whether it is players or coaches, probably not podcasters, but we have the best, you know, we can absolutely produce all of that alongside Spain, Brazil, Argentina, Germany, probably not France right now because they're just a level above everybody in the world. But we can do this. And there's buy-in for that. And that is the most exciting thing happening in MLS right now.
But what does that say? Like, where is the state of the need for the draft or even NCAA soccer, college soccer? Mm-hmm. When I look at Frankie Amaya and DK from Orlando, I'm like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
I wrote off the draft 2 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, we don't need it. We're not getting any real talent out of there. And maybe you're not getting two rounds worth of starting level big picks. But I could see a guy like Frankie Amaya maybe even getting sold. I could see DK really making his way onto a national team. These guys are really good. Why didn't we know? Is it their development was stalled? Where is the state of college? Because I'm almost like, we don't need it anymore. But look at all these gems.
So we do need it, because if you look at all the, like, basically every other country in the world that produces top caliber soccer players, they have like there's 19 teams in Buenos Aires. That means there's 19 academies in Buenos Aires. That means like there are nobody gets overlooked there. That you have that. It, the United States of America on its own, the United States of America and Canada is freaking huge. And we don't have that many academies, and we don't have that much institutional know-how or infrastructure. And so college soccer that is there to catch guys who have fallen through the cracks in a lot of ways. And then there's the other fact that a lot of guys just improve from 18 to 22 years old. So you can get players out of there. And it's not even just DK and Amaya. Jack Harrison scored this weekend in the Premier League. It's the first Leeds United Premier League goal in 16 years. Jack Harrison played in college soccer. There is still room for that path. The big change, though, is that we can't be reliant upon it. Like, if you get a Daryl DK or you get a Frankie Amaya or a João Moutinho or whoever, it's awesome. And it makes me happy because I still do love the Super Draft. But if you're relying on that, you're not going to win much in this league. You have to have a plan for your own players.
I think Alexis, he wants to just cancel colleges and books and reading.
Yeah, dude, it just gets in the way, you know?
It's all the other stuff.
You got all the words you need right here in your brain, my G.
We are still here with Matt Doyle of MLS. And we have some Gully Squad questions, okay? Yeah. Our supporters group. Yes, and also remember, if you'd like to join Gully Squad, go to soccercooligans.com for all the info. Okay.
You want to ask a question? Join Gully Squad. What are you doing? Stop wasting time.
Exactly. So, well, you know what? We have a question first from Chad Benty, who is a Minnesota United supporter. You are rocking the, I believe that's the Black Heart shirt. Yeah.
Great bar. Shout out to Wes.
Wes, yes. Yeah. This from Chad Benty. He says, honest opinion, who is your least favorite club in Major League Soccer? I know this is probably a difficult answer. I don't want to put too much pressure on you. It's like asking who's your favorite child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you have no idea how many names just scroll through Matt's head?
Who's the most frustrating right now? And maybe, you know, Chad Benty, Minnesota United supporter, because he asked the question, it might be Minnesota United. Who knows?
You guys know I'm not going to answer that question. Yeah. I love it. I love all 26 MLS clubs exactly equally.
Perfect.
I'm sure that was completely obvious. We got a question from Andrew Johnson. He's got three questions. I want to ask the third one first because I don't have a cat, so I don't know. He says, I have a cat that climbs the curtains. Any suggestions? So, my suggestion would be to weaken the curtains so they fall, and you can look at the cat and be like, see? You messed up.
Yeah, cats don't learn like that, though. My suggestion would be to film it and then to go viral, because like, you got to monetize these days. That's what the home economy is all about. And then turn your cat into a viral star, retire at 35, live the rest of your life on a beach.
Dude, this is why he's in the sitcom. This is why.
We knew we cast it appropriately. Okay? It's interesting because I just got a dog, obviously, right? We were talking about Nutmeg earlier. I'm not in the mode of like, let me post pictures of the dog. Yeah. I'm not that person yet.
You're getting shamed for it online already.
That's what I was going to point out. Somebody Christine Kupo just pointed out. She said, we haven't seen any Nutmeg photos in 2 days. Did we do something wrong? Okay. Yeah. Wow. Are you just going to shame me?
This is your responsibility now. You presented your pet online. It is now a member of the community. And it doesn't have opposable thumbs. It can't take its own selfie. This is your job now. This is why I don't have kids or pets.
I will train him to do exactly that. Okay.
So
you gotta start your own Instagram account, Nutmeg. Right.
Yeah, I'll start one for my Doritos, and then we'll share both of our pets. He also wants to know, this is Andrew Johnson, still wants to know, beard oil or all natural, but he also said, who is the best number in MLS and why is it Darlington Nagby?
Oh, boy. So I actually use a little bit of oil, and sometimes I have to use a little bit of wax because this is – like I'm Lebanese, so if I don't tame this will just go everywhere. it can get out of hand and get me kicked off of flights. best number groomed. Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The best number eight in MLS. That's a really good question. Nagby's up there. And he's certainly had his moments over the past year. And, I mean, I'll just be nice and say, yeah, Darlington Nagby. But I reserve the right to change my mind on a future episode of the sitcom we're all on.
Yeah. Is Columbus Crew for real?
Yeah. I don't think they're locked, you know, locked down favorites or anything. They've played Cincinnati 75 times this year, so of course they're going to have a lot of wins.
Scheduling has been drunk, huh?
But they, you know, we also saw them struggle real bad against Minnesota United in the MLS's back tournament when Adrian Heaves made a really good tactical choice and had Hassani Dotson just sit on Darlington Nagby the entire game and not allow Nagby to dictate the game. So there are ways you can take this team out of their rhythm, but they're fun, man. They're a fun and really good team, and it shouldn't surprise anybody if they're holding a trophy at the end of this year.
If we're talking about number eight, I mean, Alex Ring is a eight, is a number, yeah. Literally the number eight. I don't know if he's more of a six, but he's on the wing. What is going on with what? He's scoring goals. What does NYCFC look like? Because they've so drastically improved ever since the restart of the regular season.
And how is Sean Johnson going to do a striker when Ronnie Dyla puts him there?
I mean, that's the question, right? Like the Alex Ring, like I understand that he feels like he has to get James Sands out there, and Keaton Parks has mostly earned it with his play, so you want to have him. But then playing Alex Ring at left winger, like, yeah, he scored a goal, but did you watch that performance? He had no idea what he was doing on the left wing. And I think, like yeah, NYCFC are getting results, right? Four wins in five. I think they're 4-1-0, 13 points from their last 15 games. They have a lot of talent. I think they're getting results from their talent, not from necessarily how they're playing or from their system. Because if you compare them to what they were the most of the last four seasons, it's a different team, and it's not as good.
Yeah. Okay. So we got this question from Thorin Svensson. He said, if you were given $100 million to never make a That's So Metro joke, do you think you could do it?
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I can do anything for $100 million. Like you gotta dream bigger, buddy. Come on.
$100 million, he's Kanye's running mate.
Right.
Okay, Gully Squad questions. Shouts to Gully Squad. If you want to ask a question, join Gully Squad. This is Mike Thomas, a Philadelphia Union fan, but he doesn't ask a question about the Union. He wants to know, when it comes to relevance, which peer group does Matt think is more important for MLS to progress in? Is it the group of top European soccer leagues or the group of big four American sports leagues, being Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, and NFL?
Wow. That's a really good question. I had never considered it in those terms. My heart says biggest European soccer leagues. Like I want it, or even like, let's just get to the same level as Liga MX in terms of what the populace in the Americas thinks about MLS. And I think we're pretty close to that at this point. But I think the reality is that we're talking network TV money. We're talking, you know, the NBA or NFL style TV deal. If we get that big four relevance here in the United States, I think my salary would quadruple. So that's like, okay. That's the one.
To get things going. Yeah.
What are we doing today, Donnie?
I give the D-row.
You know, it's funny when you think about it. If you look at it from a business perspective, the whole world watches soccer, right? So you have a chance to make money on TV markets all over the world, but also just the sheer amount of money in America that you would, like getting NFL money negates almost all that other money. So it's,
Well, even like the European soccer leagues would love a TV deal like the NFL. The NFL, I mean, has one of the most lucrative deals in the world in history.
Yeah, I think that in terms of just like sheer value for their media rights, NFL is the number one league in the world by far, and like EPL is number two, and that, like, we all know how popular the EPL is. And to have them as number two in that metric tells you just how big the NFL is here. So please get us into that club first. Yeah. And then we'll worry about the other stuff afterwards.
Yeah, we'll seal that up later. This is the big one.
And so Mike asks another question. He continues. He says, and spinning off of that, is it unrealistic to think there's a reality in the foreseeable future where MLS salary spending could be on par or at least move closer with the quote-unquote traditional American sports league? MLS likes to lump themselves in with those other U.S. leagues, but in reality, they are spending pennies on the dollar when compared to those leagues.
I mean, to NFL and Major League Baseball, like their media deals are so huge. It is a different ballpark. But if you look at the way MLS salaries have increased over the past 5, 10, 15 years, I mean, 10 years ago, the minimum salary was $20,000 a year for a reserve league player. Now I think it's about $80,000 a year. So fourfold over the course of a decade. I don't know if we'll hit that by 2030, but it wouldn't shock me if we did. And once you get to that kind of level, then you're in that same ballpark. If the progress has been pretty linear, frankly, so I don't think it's that far away.
Okay. All right. And, you know, you mentioned it briefly, but I do want to talk very quickly about Gonzalo Higuain. As we're recording this, the team hasn't officially announced it, but Jorge Mas was in the airport, you know, picking up his homie, Higuain. What will he mean to Inter Miami, and what does this move, what does it mean to MLS?
So I think ideally Higuain will be to Miami what David Villa was to NYCFC. In terms of, look, we've seen some older players come to MLS and just not be able to hack it anymore physically. Steven Gerrard in LA with the Galaxy. Frank Lampard, frankly, with NYCFC, he couldn't do anything except score goals by the end of it, which is a nice trait to have, but it's tough to build a team around a midfielder who could only pop up in the box and score with his crotch, you know? I think Higuain ideally will be this type of focal point that you can build an attack around, but also like a two-way player who can kind of organize the first line of the press, who can make sure that the game is happening where they want it to play. If you look at the best of David Villa, mostly under Patrick Vieira, that's what he was doing. Like, he was dictating things from the front. That's the ideal. But whether or not that they get that, Higuain, like, he has maybe not been the fittest player in the world in the last couple of years.
Okay. And
we're not going to allow body shaming on this show, Matt.
He's going to Miami, which, of course, is a nice, very staid and reserved type of market. Well, yeah. I'm sure there would be no possible...
Cuban food is all healthy.
right.
All right. Thank you again to Matthew Doyle for joining us today, making his Cooligans television debut.
That's
long
right.
Overdue.
Took it out damn time.
But completely intentional. No, obviously, a huge fan. Dear, dear friend. Matt, is there anything you want to let people know about before we sign off?
Yeah, you can find my stuff on MLSsoccer.com. Every Sunday night at the end of the weekend, I write a gigantic 4,000-word wrap-up of all the MLS action. I put in tactical videos, a little bit of advanced stats, and my wit. So you can find that at MLSsoccer.com every Monday morning. Follow me on Twitter at MattDoyle76.
Okay, make sure you do that. He's one of the best follows on Twitter if you are a fan of American soccer.
And don't worry about reading that wrap-up, because he doesn't take much time with it. It's very simple.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It just owns my life every weekend for the past 10 years. No, that's cool. Just blow past that. Cat ran on the field. Click on the cat thing. That's good. That's what we like.
MLS, the MLS matches the last few weeks and for the rest of this year are nuts. There's so many games and there's insane goals.
It's gonna be
highly
fun.
Highly entertaining, so make sure you check out Matt's work. All right, so make sure you follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social media platforms as well. Make sure to follow us on Twitch because we do a lot of fun stuff there as well. Twitch.tv/Soccer Cooligans. Make sure you follow at Fubo Sports and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. So let us end the show the way we normally do with our dear friend Matt Doyle. So for Matt Doyle, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!
Yes.